live from his downtown Chicago estate. Sponsored by DingDap.com, it's time to speak some English without Andrew English.
It really is an estate. You should see it.
I saw it a moment ago. I also saw that you were topless.
I am topless, and in a couple hundred square foot estate.
Dude, but it's what you do with the couple hundred square feet. It's not that you only have access to a couple hundred square feet.
That's true. The estate is where the heart is.
That's right.
Yes.
That's a well-known phrase.
It's very well-known.
In fact, the most well-known of the phrases.
I just keep my horses and, you know, and everything and all the rest of the estate elsewhere.
But you keep your horses firmly in front of your carts, yes?
Of course. How else would you, you know, move down the road?
You'd be surprised. Sometimes people tend to put the cart before the horse.
You could have the horse push the cart. Yeah. I mean, that would be. I guess that's exactly what you were saying. Or perhaps like a catamaran style.
On either side?
Rigged up on the side.
That just seems like a system. It is in no way convenient.
No. That's a
bad plan. Why would you?
I
mean, I'm for it, just for innovation's sake, but I don't really see the need.
I think it would reduce the wear on one part of the road and spread the load to multiple, you know, kind of like spread the load on the road.
But imagine how wide your roads would have to be to allow for, you know, multiple lane traffic.
Wide enough so that it would have been convenient to put in wide roads for modern cars. So maybe it would have actually been beneficial in the long run.
Maybe it would have.
God forbid anyone actually listens to this. Ken, this is your cue to turn it off.
Yeah, Ken, you're not getting anything.
Worth listening to.
No, not tonight. Not tonight. Although we are now officially we're going to trumpet the cause of putting the horses beside the cart.
Yes. If anyone out there in podcast land happens to talk to an ancient, let them know. Horses beside the cart is how you do it in the future.
That's right. That's how we roll.
That's the future plan. It's the best.
That's the best way to do it. It's scientifically proven.
That's right. Just show them your iPhone and they'll believe you.
Yes, that's right. There will soon be an iPhone app that will provide you with the perfect configuration for putting horses beside the cart.
A chariot racing game.
A chariot racing game, yes. Have I told you about my idea for a podcast, the rock throwing game for an iPhone app?
I actually prefer the idea of the podcast. I think maybe you could just have like two people throwing rocks at each other and record the
indentations. No, but what you do, right, is you download the app and then it just puts a picture of a rock on the display of your iPhone. At which point you throw your iPhone at somebody else and you throw a rock.
Oh, I gotcha. It's a game for rich kids then.
Yes.
Okay.
That can afford to get rid of like multiple iPhones.
Yeah. No, it's just aggressive testosterone filled rich kids.
Yeah.
All right. I like the sounds of it.
You know, it's simple, and simple is good.
So to move on to, you know, the theoretical purpose of this conversation.
That's right.
I pulled up the table here, and I have to say I haven't looked at it in a while, and it's actually kind of surprising.
Let me pull it up, and then I can see what it looks like as well.
But the three most interesting teams sit in fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Of course, you're talking about
each other.
Hull, Wolverhampton, and I don't know. You continue your thought.
Actually, Hull, Wolverhampton, and
Bristol.
Yeah, actually, only West Ham could fit that description.
The Hammers.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no. I wasn't talking about them. I was talking about Burnley, Fulham, and Everton in 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Carl, I have to trump you for just one second, because as I navigate the interwebs to the league table, I just want to read you the headline on the Barclays Premier League page on soccernet.com. It is, and I quote, "Placenta rehab for Van Persie."
Well,
placenta rehab for Van Persie.
Isn't that something that has to do with childbirth?
Yes, yeah, so it's like the after stuff. It's the back part. It's
don't
like
tell
kind
me
of
going to consume it in some regard.
No, apparently a Serbian healer is going to rub it into his ankles in a desperate bid to speed up his recovery from injury.
I mean, would it be apt to ask the placenta of what being? Is it a human placenta? Are we supposed to take that for granted?
Carl, I'm going to be totally honest. There is not a lot of information out there right now on the origins of the placenta.
What kind of placenta do you think that they would use? Which kind of... Ken, write in to us, please.
You write in with placentas.
Listeners, no. Which animal do you think would produce the most, you know, the placenta with the greatest healing value?
Apparently, and this is going to make it more difficult, Van Persie is stating the placenta is actually somewhat mysterious. And he says that she's vague about her methods, but I know that she first massages you for a long time with placenta fluid.
So it could be like cooking oil, and she's just lying.
It might be, but why would you, it might be.
No, why would you? I can think of a lot of reasons.
Beyond the title, my favorite line of that story is the conclusion, which is, I'm sorry, it's, where is it? It's the Arsenal physio has given him permission to do it.
It doesn't sound harmful.
But the funny part to me is with Arsenal's, like, injury record, it seems almost appropriate that the Arsenal physio is willing to allow a placenta-related treatment.
I mean, I've heard all over the place that where video games got the inspiration for the health kit is the placenta. You didn't know you had hit points until you eat one of those. And you're like, wow, 30 I, more.
I mean, I knew that placenta was delicious, but I didn't know that it was a health aid.
Yeah, if you roast it, it adds +5 hit point regeneration.
+5. That's impressive.
Yep.
Wow. Sorry, but I totally derailed your talk of the three most interesting teams.
Oh, you're talking about Wigan, Blackburn, and Birmingham.
They are extremely interesting.
You know what makes them interesting?
What makes them interesting,
Mr. Blue is predominant part of each of their uniforms.
I mean, and when you throw in Everton being right there in 12th, then you've got a power group of blue teams.
Yeah, it is practically a straight of blue teams.
All we really need is Portsmouth to get off the foot of the table, pass a couple of teams, and maybe displace Bolton. Yes, then we'd have a 5 spot of blue.
And instead of a whatever you just said, we had some technical problems.
Yeah.
So we apologize for that.
Are we live again?
We should be. We're live again.
We are live.
I don't know what it is about stupid GarageBand that causes these problems. Why my computer can't handle just doing a couple of tasks.
Yeah, well, that's because Macs are crappy. Everybody knows
it. It's pretty true. Macs are gay. Listener, Ken.
Don't buy a Mac, Ken. It's not okay.
What do you know, like, lots of people are going to listen to this, and they're going to get offended.
They're gonna be bored.
They're gonna have
The placenta bit will have hooked them.
Well, they won't have gotten that far.
We got to the placenta pretty fast. As usual, we cut right to the placenta.
That's true. We usually go straight to childbirth.
Yeah, well, it's a big part of us.
It is true. I try and attend at least one birth.
I'm actually moonlighting as a midwife, so I totally understand.
I just wish that I could breastfeed.
Wow. You know, I wish that you could too, Carl.
Dreams.
That's why we dream them.
That's right.
Oh, man. Excitement.
So back to the most interesting teams in the Premiership. Sunderland,
Stoke,
Burnley.
Now, is it actually Sunderland, Stoke, and Burnley?
What? Well, I mean, I think... I mean
for the sake of this conversation, because we've derailed pretty thoroughly, and if it's another joke, I need to be prepared. Okay.
It's not another
this
joke.
Is no laughing matter.
I mean, this is kind of, you know, I think pretty serious that... Everton, Fulham, and Burnley are each, you know, right next to each other. It's very important. I don't know, that wasn't funny. That fell totally flat because I just can't make any jokes out of this bizarre premiership. Other than, I mean, really what I was going for at the very beginning is Tottenham, Villa,
yes,
and City. All right there. I guess City with is a game, I mean, is a got a game in hand.
That's what you're looking for.
Term. Yes, and so that if they win that, they would go to, up to fourth. And I kind of feel like, well, I don't know what I feel like, but I think it's kind of, heartening at least that.
I feel like this has been one of the more mediocre seasons. Like, I feel like it's, you know, for some time, the excitement was centered around with, you know, all of this money, Tottenham's finally going to figure it out, or Manchester's going to make the leap, or Villa. Or, you know, all these years it was wondering when somebody would kind of break into the Big Four, whereas kind of the opposite is happening, and the Big Four is almost like retreating into a, you know, mediocrely large seven. You know, the good-sized seven has sort of replaced the Big Four.
I think there's something to be. I'd say that it's almost like the I think you're right.
I just feel like of the Big Four, you could find, you know, one of the last year's version of any of the Big Four teams would probably be better than this year's version. Like, I think they,
except for Arsenal.
Yeah, I would say Arsenal maybe.
Well, I mean, it's the same team. It's just they're all a year older, and they all get a year older.
And waiting a year tends to help people get a year older.
It's very true. And they have, what's his face, the Croatian-Brazilian, Eduardo. Yeah. He's around again. I guess so they have Van Persie out with the placenta problem.
Well, to clarify, the problem isn't with his placenta. It's an ankle problem. He's just attempting to correct it via the placenta.
I knew that. I just thought it was much funnier to call it.
All right, fine. He's out with a placenta. He's out up to 6 weeks with a placenta.
There you go.
You heard it here.
I think City's going to spend the year. It's going to be another pretender year for City. I think if anyone's going to crack it, it's going to be
City. I like how City hasn't even made it, like, two full seasons into the Robinho era before he's already bitching and wanting to move somewhere else.
Well, that's what I expect. He stuck out longer than I thought he would. Like, I was expecting him to be throwing fits by the end of last season and to have left during the summer.
It would have been a good opportunity to get rid of him.
He's not an important player. A team, he's the kind of player Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
Who you don't win championships. You don't win championships.
No, he's a great, he's the perfect player for a bad team.
Yep, he'll sell jerseys, you know, he'll make highlights, he'll look cool, but you're not going to win championships with him on your team. You're going to have somebody who actually cares about winning in the team and everything.
Well, and even then, like,
playing in the,
and I'm not even talking about, like, intangibles or any of that junk. I think that he lacks a portion of this, like, his skill set.
It's too offensive.
It's too slight. It's too, like, he's not.
Enough?
He doesn't impact enough stuff.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't, because he didn't track back. I mean, even Ronaldo tracked back. Ronaldo had, like, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo, at least, had an incredible fire, you know, to win. He was connected to his team winning or losing. He wanted it. And I just don't feel like that. I feel like Robinho's in it for himself, and that's why he's so one-dimensional.
Marginal. He's just, you can let him have his one or two really nifty plays a game, and at the end of the day, you're still going to beat them. Whereas the really good players are the ones that contribute constantly or score or do whatever.
He really does kind of belong in the NBA.
Yeah.
I think of, like, what's the dude at the, in Washington? Gilbert Arenas.
Agent Zero, you mean?
Yeah, another guy who can't win championships. Yeah, Robinho's just that kind of player. They're going to have to get rid of him if they're going to, you know,
Well, I think he's perfect for their stage. He'll add some excitement when they're not very good, and now that they're once they start to get good, they'll get rid of him, and it will be another story. It'll keep them relevant.
That's true. And he sold a lot of shirts when they needed to sell shirts.
Yes.
They need.
Well, you have to sell. Yeah, they do need. He's going to Milan. Actually, first he has to play in the MLS Championship.
Oh, I should.
He
watch
scored
that,
the overtime winner, Carl.
Good for Bex, though, going to Milan. I mean, that's really the best thing he could do.
You know, it was actually a really interesting season for Mr. Beckham after Eldon's book dropped and there was all this controversy. LA started off awful because they really weren't a particularly good team and Bruce Arena had just taken over. And so while they were awful, Grant Wall, who's one of the writers with Sports Illustrated, talked Donovan into – well, Grant Wall wrote a book overall.
Well,
okay.
I know about the book. What happened? Like, how did Beckham respond?
You know, honestly, it was largely behind closed doors. It appeared.
No, I mean, like on the field, like
the team yeah, the team
like,
kind of.
I mean, I don't get it. All right,
fair enough.
Mine.
Well, it all came. Basically, it was one of those stories where it all sort of came together, and they things got really awful immediately after the book, and Beckham was getting booed by his home fans, and then the best offensive player in the league, and they had a couple of younger kids come to on defense, and they picked up old U.S. mainstay Greg Berhalter. So they kind of solidified. They got not awful on defense, and their offense was good enough so that they really only needed to be not awful. Yeah.
Okay,
so they just kind of rode that, and they finished really strong. Yeah.
Good for them. Good for Beck. Is Eldon moving to
He says he's going to, and he'll be out of contract. So you got to think he's going to be very valuable because you won't have to pay anybody
for
him. And he's a good age, and he's had international success. He was good in the Gold Cup. Bless his little Eldon heart. So we're gonna need him now that the U.S. men's national team is decimated.
I didn't know that the U.S. men's national team is decimated. I would argue that a decimated national team this far ahead of the World Cup isn't always a bad thing because it prevents dudes from getting hurt.
Well, the problem is that a lot of our dudes are hurt to the extent where they may not make it. So, like, Charlie Davies was in a car.
Oh, yeah.
So he may not come back. Gooch looks like he'll make it back in April, which should give him enough time, but he won't. But he's not going to get any games, is the problem. And then Jay Demerit, who is our backup center back, is dealing with like a bizarre eye infection and might also not be ready in time. And so we just went from being, very settled in a couple of areas and, things were coming along. And now all of a sudden Hull is struggling and is so short on money that Altidore's loan might get canceled. And Altidore hasn't been playing a ton anyways. And, Gooch wasn't playing at Milan and then Gooch got hurt. And then Demerit's eye injury and just problems, man. Bad times.
Well, I understand. I really probably think that Gooch, I was kind of up in the air on this. I don't know if Milan was really the best thing for him because I didn't think he was going to.
I think if this had been last year, I mean, I think for him it was the right move. It was just timed particularly poorly. Their defense is so old. If not this season, I feel like he's going to get a ton. Had he stayed healthy with the Champions League and international windows and the age of that defense, I think he would have played. And regardless, I think that by the time, this time rolls around next year, I don't think that, surely at some point, like Maldini and Nesta wrap it up,
Yeah, no, that's true.
So I feel like it's just one of those, it was the right move for him, but it was the wrong move for the national team.
No, I gotcha. No, I probably agree with that. But World Cup's a long way away. I think, I'm just happy we're in it again. I guess I don't ever expect
Carl, we're in it to win it. Don't you understand anything about life?
Well, then we might as well just commit suicide, because we're not going to win the World Cup.
Newsflash.
America is not going to win the 2010 World Cup. We're going to...
That's probably fair.
Not,
I feel like there's a better than average chance that you're correct.
Who is going to win the World Cup, Wes? Because I got to eat some dinner. So let's
closing thoughts on who's going to win the World Cup.
Let's close this world this short, or like we'll start closing it down on a November, mid-November World Cup prediction.
I think it's going to be someone completely boring and predictable, like Germany or France or Brazil. Nobody that is any fun. I think that, yes. What do you think?
I think that England is going to lose
really?
In the final.
I don't. I think they're going to lose in the quarterfinals like they always do.
No. They're going to lose in the final. It's going to be incredible.
It's going to be incredible.
No, think about it. I mean, Capello's really got this team playing well. Capello is going to get the team to the final, and England's going to go batshit nuts, and then they're going to get crushed. That's what I want to have happen, because that would be the most entertaining ending to the World Cup, is if England gets crushed, like, 3-0.
You know what actually would be much better? If England, like, swept their group stages, looked like they were going to be awesome, and then lost on penalty kicks in the quarterfinals to Argentina.
It'd be so much more crushing if they got all the way to the final.
You know,
I think that English if they carried it, if they, like, were dominant like that, like, or, like, confident and cocksure all the way up.
So you're saying
final,
that they would need to be sure of their cocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
And they would all, like, almost expect victory.
I just can't.
There'd be so much fear.
Yeah.
There'd be so much attention. If it's the quarterfinals, it's like, ugh, the quarterfinals again. They all secretly.
But see, that's
that
why
right
I like
now.
It. I love them being right.
But I want them
you
to
want
be
them to get their hopes up. No, I understand.
Wrong. And I think that with Capello, they will, because I do think Capello's different. And I think that coach like that is really a lot of what makes the difference in the World Cup. And so I think that they'll make a good showing for themselves. I think that they will make the final because of that, and I think they will lose the final because ultimately
yeah,
they're
well, they are English. That's one thing England can never not be.
And I think that they're going to lose it to one of those teams that wins it much more regularly and just like whatever. And that's going to be either France or Italy or Brazil.
See, I think that they're not going to succeed for the simple reason that I think that they're – and obviously this is on the scale of other world-class teams. But of the actual legit contenders, I think that they're the shallowest. I think that Rio is a question mark. I think that Rooney they are set up so perfectly for like one or two guys to get hurt and then to just like boom.
But all the other national teams are like that too. I mean England's just as deep, if not deeper, than France.
Well,
I don't count
France,
Spain.
First off. Because they've been lousy. They may not even make it.
But they were in the final
no,
last
they weren't.
Time.
It was Italy and Germany.
Yeah, and France.
It was Italy and Germany, I thought.
Zinedine
oh,
Zidane,
yeah, you're right. You're right. Germany was the semifinals. You're right. You're right.
It doesn't – when it comes around to World Cup time, France might be shitty, but might also be really good. And you
that's
don't
true.
Know that yet.
And you do know that England is going to be shitty.
No, but under Capello, they just haven't been shitty. The thing is that they don't have an Englishman or an idiot Swede in charge. They have an Italian who's not going to fold. And I think that he can carry the team for a little while, but I think by the final it falls apart.
I'd say that's true.
And I think that, like, if you look at, like, Spain's defense, it's mediocre. Brazil's defense is pretty good. But, I mean, it's like, I wouldn't say mediocre, but I don't think that they have, like, you know, all these, like, deep amount of guys who are really good. I think that I think that England's first team is arguably the best
yeah.
in Europe. And I think that as they get weaker, like, they start to get to guys who are pretty good but have some weaknesses. And every single one of the national teams, when they get into depth, has decent guys with some weaknesses. And I think it's kind of like it's all the same for all of them. I mean, if Torres is out, then or Villa is out, then Spain's probably
yeah.
going to struggle. You know, they're a very one-dimensional team because they have to keep the ball on the ground. They can't play it in the air. They're not necessarily that fast. I think Italy kind of requires on, or depends on some of its better strikers and its better defenders who are all old. And I mean, Brazil's kind of like always in and out, and I can't think of very many really good Brazilian midfielders. I don't know. I mean, I feel like all those top teams are all like, I feel like to a large degree, the difference in the top teams and the teams right below it is not necessarily in skill level, it's an attitude. And those top teams just don't have to win the World Cup. Brazil doesn't have to win the World Cup. And so they can play with just more of a nothing-to-lose kind of, like, mentality, and it's just they don't beat themselves. I think that to a large degree, is just the difference. You know, France and Italy and Germany and Brazil can go out there, and they can just play because they don't have to prove anything to anybody, and that's just kind of perpetual. I think that's why the same few, like, seven countries have won every single World Cup, because it gets to so much pressure that nobody else could do it. And it's as if England has never won.
Yeah.
You know, it's practically five, really, because Uruguay doesn't count.
Yep. You make excellent points. I can't really, I guess I just think it's going to be Brazil. I think it's going to be the least exciting of all the possible outcomes. I'm just saying they're the best combination of what you're talking about. They've got the best players, and they've got the best attitude towards the tournament. They know they're good.
I think that the World Cup is of all the tournaments of all the sports in the world, the World Cup is the one where the unexpected happens the least often. You know, at the end of the day, Brazil is always the team to bet on. You know, like, the World Cup could end tomorrow, and you could be like, all right, 4 years, who's going to win the World Cup? Brazil. That's the smart smart money. And, you know, going into the World Cup, that's still probably going to be the smart money. And then I would say that Italy is number two, France number three, and then Germany number four.
You're right, because Spain's only won the Euro. That doesn't count yet.
Yeah. And Argentina's got Diego Maradona as their manager, which means
They're lucky they made it.
Yes.
That guy's a nut bar.
And then who else has won?
Wasn't it like Uruguay? Uruguay?
It's seven countries, and it's Uruguay, Brazil, Argentina.
Uruguay, Brazil, Argentina.
England, Germany, Italy, France. Okay, so that's all of them. And I think that nowadays, only Brazil, Italy, France, and Germany really have a chance.
What, not Uruguay?
Are they
I have no idea.
And I don't think any other country does. I wouldn't be surprised if America...
In fact, Uruguay won the first World Cup. Uruguay has won twice.
Yes, but always...
But twice, Carl. You can't discount that. They've won more than England.
Hungary almost almost...
The marvelous Magyars?
Yes. But they didn't, and they never will again. America, I think, actually has a... I would say, and I'm obviously going on record as saying it, that America has as good a chance as England as winning the World Cup.
Oh, I'd say it has a better chance. Just because of sheer talent pool, the number of players.
Well, I'm not even thinking about talent pool. I'm thinking about the fact that we just don't care as much. And it'll allow America to play the World Cup like, kind of like the other countries who have won.
They're never
going to
be pressured, and they will always be ready to play in road games.
Yes. And then, no, I mean, like, we're just happy with the semifinals. You know, and that's an
I think West Germany is going to win it. They're going to split again, and then they're going to win it.
I would like to see that. That would be a dramatic...
You know who finished third place in the 1930 World Cup? The United States.
That's probably our best.
Carl, that's better than like that's better than England's bet. No, actually, England won it once. So if you take away England's win.
No, I think England's been in the final.
No, just once.
No, I think they lost in the final.
I've got the list in front of me. They've only been in the final once, and they won against West Germany. And the USSR finished fourth. Uruguay has secretly been a power. So we've got two wins. And then we've got a fourth place finish.
Didn't they win one because it was in
the first
Uruguay
World Cup was in Uruguay.
Altitude?
They beat Argentina.
Yeah. That's not, I mean.
Well, if you discount that, then England doesn't count.
But England was where?
Yes, in a with a disputed goal against Germany.
Oh, yeah, well, that's fine. England doesn't count. Well, I mean, it is. It's effective. I mean, if I'm discounting Uruguay as being as not counting in the victors. I'm also discounting England because it was so long
Well,
ago.
Well, one of Italy's was in Italy, and one of Argentina's was in Argentina. So those France's was in France.
Okay, yeah,
that's right.
One. But France's was so recent that
it
still
was in
gets,
France. We have to stick to this rule. We have to stay consistent, Carl.
All right. Okay. So really, that means that Brazil and Italy and Germany are the only countries.
Hey, Uruguay won a World Cup in Brazil.
Yeah, I know, but I'm discounting Uruguay because.
Yeah, but you're not allowed. No, it was in the 50s. It was 1950.
Still,
you know what? Yeah, but those
long,
grandkids though. Are just about ready.
Well, here, okay, fine. We'll include it if they're in the World Cup final. Let's find
that's
out.
Fair.
And then we will
that's
decide
fair.
Whether or not they get
We're
going to
find out if they...
If they have
looks
a chance.
Like, ooh, they're in the playoff game. The CONCACAF versus the... looks like they're going to win. They're up. They're leading 1-0 in a two-legged playoff between the fourth-place CONMEBOL and the first-place – or the fifth-place CONCACAF – sorry, fourth-place CONCACAF, fifth-place CONMEBOL team.
Okay.
So it looks like Uruguay is going to make it.
All right. So Uruguay has an outside chance.
They have Diego Forlan, right?
So it's most likely – so we're going to say it's Brazil – and then Italy,
yes.
Germany, Uruguay as having. The
I'm
chance to
I'm
win
putting
the
yeah, Uruguay is the third most likely team to win the World Cup.
You're saying more
yes.
likely than Germany.
Well, ooh,
okay.
Wait, no, because Germany won cups that weren't in Germany, multiple. No, Uruguay is right behind Germany. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's the fourth because Italy is in
okay.
there too. Because Italy won a cup that was not in Italy.
I believe
didn't
they did. Yes. I
navigated
away because I'm looking at the squad of hold on, I'm going back. I'm going to tell you.
The last
World Cup was in Germany. Yeah, Italy has won twice outside of Italian soil. Actually, Italy has won four cups, three of which were outside of Italian soil. They've only won once in Italy.
Okay, so that's
Italy has
strong.
Italy
yeah,
has
I
a very strong resume.
Okay, so it's. And then also considering current performance, Brazil,
well,
Italy, Germany,
here's the deal.
Uruguay.
Brazil's won five times and never in Brazil. And one of those was in South Korea and Japan, so I'm counting it twice. So Brazil's actually won six times.
I think you should count that yet
Seven?
Again. Because, well, there's a South.
Ooh, but they didn't play in both. Well, it's only South Korea and Japan.
I know, but they're playing in
oh.
South Africa. They're used to playing in South.
They are. And they won in the United States, and that's very large.
Yes, and they probably played – did they play a game in,
I bet
in
they did.
Dallas? In
the
South. Okay, so Brazil – okay, so our November prediction for the World Cup is that
Brazil wins. Against Uruguay. They beat Uruguay 3-2 on penalties.
That would be an historic World Cup. And it would end boringly, knowing that a team that – and it would, you go into it knowing that, yet again, a team that had already won the World Cup was going to win
That's right.
the World Cup. So I guess it's been – I guess it was 11 years ago that a team last won the World Cup without having previously won the
yeah,
World Cup.
That is right.
Before then, I think it had been a long time. How many has Argentina won?
Once as the host.
Oh, yeah, but we just counted them because of
Diego
Maradona.
Yeah, he's on coke.
He's not going to. Any team coached by Diego Maradona has
zero
shot
Zilch.
At winning the World Cup.
It's not going to happen. If you live in Argentina, you should move to Uruguay.
Yes. They have a much better chance.
Get out of Argentina and move to
Uruguay. You and I would have a better chance at managing Argentina.
That's right, just based on what we know from Championship Manager.
Yeah, just based on the fact that we're not Diego Maradona and the rule against him.
We are not Diego Maradona, therefore Diego Maradona can't win is not relevant, yes. And we would treat all of our players with placenta.
And then we would win for sure. Instead of oranges.
Just placenta slices?
Yeah.
All right, I'm down. And juice boxes?
All right. Yeah, I mean that's what you get the orange. You can't get rid of that. You just have to change its form. Placenta plus oranges equals victory.
Yeah.
I think we should end there. We're done.
We've pretty much wrapped it up.
All right.
We've spoiled the drama of the World Cup by figuring out who's going to win scientifically.
I bet we used a
complicated formula, and if anything. Complicated formulas are invariably correct.
It's true.
They are true. They're complicated because they're accurate, and the truth is complicated. And the truth is accurate, most importantly.
I don't think I could have said it better.
Yeah.
And I won't try. Have a nice day.
Yeah,
work,
Ken. You just take care of yourself, buddy.
All right, we'll talk to you later.